Good morning. We are in a sermon series for the summer as we're together for this one summer worship called BIOS, Stories That Shape Us. And so each week we have various of our congregants, fellow friends, family, who share part of their story, their passion for life. Some of them have great experiences, others have great expertise, and we tap into that. As the pastoral staff had a retreat and we thought about the various individuals we want to hear from, we thought we'd have a group discussion with some of the most wonderful and older people in our church. So today, for our BIOS feature, we do not have one specific speaker, but we have six of our older members to join us. So to make them feel comfortable, I invite you to already give them a round of applause as they share with us today. I'm going to be introducing each of them. Pastor Chris and I sat with them this week and realized if we have them introduce themselves, we could be here till tomorrow. They have amazing life stories, and we want to hear that. However, today we want to focus on the topic of what it means to age. But I'm going to introduce first of them. Up here in the screen, you see James Dean. I mean, Bud Minton. But I actually Googled an image of James Dean, and it looks very close. This is Bud Minton way back in the day. He's born on February 19, 1932, a couple of years before I was born, in San Pedro, California. Bud was raised on a farm or a ranch in Lodi, California. He served in the Army during the Korean War, from 1952 to 1954, has interesting stories to tell about his travels. He married his wife, Betty, in 1953, and they have three daughters, five grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. Bud studied to be an X-ray and lab tech, and he did this for over 10 years, and then he saw the light and became a real estate broker for 54 years. I'm sure many of you use these services over the years. That is Bud Minton. Thank you for being here today, Bud. Next to me, we have Dr. Mike Fernando and Lucy Fernando. Mike was born on May 7, 1937 in St. Ignacio, Tarlac, Philippines. Lucy was born on December 2, 1936 in Cebu City, Philippines. Mike and Lucy both finished high school together in 1952, and they finished college together in 1956. They were married on December 2, 1962, and have two daughters and a son and two grandsons. Dr. Mike finished medical school at the Far Eastern University in the Philippines, did his residency in obstetrics and gynecology at Loma Linda University. Lucy finished medical technology at the Philippines Union College and worked as a clinical laboratory scientist for 40 years. After Mike finished residency at Loma Linda, the General Conference invited them to move back to Manila Sanitarium, where Dr. Mike was the head of the OBGYN department in the Philippines. And then after 4 years there, they came back to the U.S., and Mike worked at Loma Linda University in Riverside County Hospital, and Lucy worked at Loma Linda University and Corona Regional Hospital. Thank you for being here today. To my right, your left, is Daniel and Violet Mall. Daniel was born in Pakistan, and I never got the date of your birth. Maybe you left it out on purpose. 1937 in Pakistan, and he was raised as a Methodist. And Violet, I don't have your date of birth either. Same thing. There we go. Back in the days, she was born in Pakistan, and she was raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. Violet trained as a registered nurse and did midwife training from the Seventh-day Adventist Karachi Hospital in Pakistan. Daniel trained as a registered nurse at the CMS Church Hospital, and he joined the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital in Karachi in 1957. He was baptized in 1962 and worked for 20 years as an instructor and director of nursing in the nursing school. Daniel and Violet were married on June 5, 1963. There we see the picture of them back in the day. By the way, she was his student before they got married. There's their family. They came to White Memorial Medical Center in 1975 and worked there for 10 years. And in 1985, they moved to Riverside. They have four children, all Lasser University alumni, and they have four grandchildren. Welcome here today. And last, we have Hallie, as we know her, Pastor Hallie. Hallie was born in Lima, Peru. We didn't get your date either, back in the day, 1930. Which makes you the oldest. That's awesome. I just did tell them. Sorry, Hallie. She was born in Lima, Peru, where her parents had been working with the famous stalls that we hear about a lot here at La Sierra in the Amazon. She grew up in Peru, Argentina, and Uruguay until coming to the United States as a teenager. I think we have beautiful pictures of Hallie there. She married Keith Rhodes and had two daughters. After 28 years of marriage, she was divorced and went back to school here at the beautiful La Sierra University. She met and married Leland Wilson Lee and was working as a chaplain at the White Memorial Hospital in LA. After 32 years of marriage, Lee suddenly passed away a number of years ago. Hallie has 14 grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. And Hallie has an undergraduate degree in religion, a master's in family education, and she has authored two books about herself and her interesting family, and would be happy for you to purchase it if you want.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. These are our older members for our discussion this morning. And to open our conversation, I would like to ask you about what it means, or when we say aging, what do you think about when we say aging?
I enjoy the feeling of what you call aging body, because we are, Mike and I, are getting old together. Mm. It is enjoyable because there is togetherness. We have seen better days, but we also have worse. We may not have everything we want, but we have everything we need. We wake up with aches and pains, but we wake up thanking God for sustaining us for 55 years. Mm. Life may be perfect, but we are blessed. I'm grateful we have each other to enjoy growing old together. We started together as classmates, as you have said, in high school and in college. And now we are looking forward to more years together. And that is the key word, togetherness.
Mm, beautiful. Hallie, when we talk about aging, what do you think about?
That the wisdom I have now, I certainly wish I'd had over the years. I love having children and a family. You didn't mention I have five stepchildren too, which contributes to the 14 grandchildren, okay? Anyway, I love having a family. I love the fact that we can be close and have fun together. I love this church. I don't like aging. Mm. I don't like hurting. You do what you can.
So when we talk about aging, we think about aches and pains and hurting.
I do.
Daniel, what do you have to say about that? I know you have some struggles.
Yes, I have struggles. But it's a natural process of aging. And aging is due to a lot of body changes which come in your age. After 50 you see some gray hairs. Maybe you see glasses on your face. And as you grow old, you may be a wheelchair patient or having a little cane. But it's changes because of your metabolic system goes very low. Your hormones, your endocrinology takes place. A lot of changes come, and you start growing old. However, some of us, we stay very alert mentally. Some of us, we may lose our memory. Like I put my keys somewhere else and she has to find it. I don't remember.
Hang on 1 second. I know exactly where you put the keys. Violet, you want to tell that story quickly?
One time I gave him the key and I said, I locked the car. And I said, here is the key. So get something from the fridge. So he opened the deep freezer and put the key there and got the other things. And I asked him, I said, where is that key? He said, well, I gave it to you. I said, no, you didn't give me that key. I gave it to you. And after 2 weeks, by the time I got the second key, and I said, here is that, but we have to look for that key. He said, well, I gave it to you. I said, well, we'll find it one of these days. So after 2 weeks, I got something from the fridge and there was something black inside. And I said, what is that? I got it out and that was the car keys.
Unfortunately, it didn't make it into lunch that day, right? So, Bud, you wanted to add something?
Well, I found that when I want something, I attempt to go, for instance, out in the garage, and I get to the garage and wonder why I'm there. So I have to go back inside the house, stand around for a minute, and eventually it may come to me. I'm ever hopeful.
Or it may not.
Or it may not. And you have to go inside and outside two or three times. But it's I find that life is a wonderful thing. I've been very active all my life. I think that's contributed to my longevity. I exercise every day except Sabbath. I think it's a wonderful process that we go through. I'm noticing a difference in my life as we go each year. It's not a quick one, but I notice a gradual, as Daniel said, a diminishment of your capabilities. Kids that I used to beat in racquetball 30 years ago are now beating me. So I'm blessed to be able to still play racquetball with them.
And the kids that you played racquetball with 30 years ago are now 65.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. Dr. Mike, we talked this week when we sat around the table about plans. Everybody has plans that they make for retirement, but there was an interesting conversation around the table about how we adjust to when these things don't quite work out. Do you want to say a little bit more about that?
I agree with what Lucy said, because she is the Speaker of the House. One thing I can say is that in order for us to enjoy the process of aging is to have a loving relationship with our Maker. And that's the only way we can enjoy this aging during this life. For we are looking forward to the time when there is no more aging, when Jesus comes the second time. Our ears will not fail us. Our eyes will not fail us. Our sciatica will not occur anymore. No more pain, no more death. And we will enjoy the life forever with Jesus Christ, with our friends.
That's beautiful, Dr. Mike. I heard you say, you know, we'll be able to hear. You told us a very funny story about hearing, which is why Dr. Mike and Daniel are sitting next to me this morning. I forgot. I need to speak up a little bit. Tell us your story about hearing.
Well, especially when I don't have my hearing aid, Lucy shouts at me. And I said, look, you can shout at me, but don't get mad. Because you can tell the difference when she shouts. When she shouts, when she's mad, I know. So I always tell her to please don't get mad at me. But I cannot blame her because she has to repeat it twice, three times, sometimes five times. So if I were in her place, I will get mad too.
Mr. Moll, you had talked about at night when you put your hearing aid off, you don't have any conversation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I tell my wife, speak loud. So she really shouts, and then she hurts my tympanic membrane. And I tell her, why you are shouting? I'm not deaf.
And then the neighbors come wondering what's going on, right?
At night, I take my hearing aid.
Okay, let me tell
you. And she starts talking.
Go ahead, Violet.
When at night time when we go to bed, and I said, that's it. Because he can't hear me, so I said, if there is anything, I will talk to you tomorrow morning. Because he can't hear me. So we have problem. If I say something, you know, I'm a soft-spoken, and we say, why don't you scream at me? I said, I don't want to be rude to you, because he can't hear, even if I repeat 2-3 times, he can't hear me.
I like the principle of saving conversations for the next day.
Yeah.
I think all of us can learn from that and should learn from that. And Hallie, you were going to say something?
Well, I'm sitting here feeling very envious. I don't care if Leek is deaf. I'd like to have him again.
Yeah.
I'm the only one living here alone, which makes me very grateful for my kids, especially my daughter who's here today. She kind of bosses me around, I notice.
So say a little bit more, Hallie, because...
By living alone, it's not something I ever planned on. And I wish now that I had been a little wiser about the future. I kind of took my life for granted while I had it. But I love the fact that we can have a sense of humor. And I love the fact that God has given us that gift. It's a rich one.
And I think it was you said last week, we can make, you wish that you had planned better, but then you also said, but even if I did, things change, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And accepting today and where we are today and medicine and all that medicine does for pain and all of that kind of stuff is you know, it's a wonderful gift that God has given us.
Actually, if you ask me truthfully, aging is really a bothersome period of your life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Say more.
Because she's washing dishes on the sink, and I'm sitting on the sofa. She's trying to communicate with me. Even though I have my hearing aid, I can hear the TV, but not her.
Yeah.
So she thinks I'm hearing, and I'm really not. So it bothers me when I ask her, what did you say? She said... That bothers me, you know. She doesn't even say what she said, or I'll talk to you later. She goes like that.
Things are warming up now. You're hearing it, right? In the beginning, I was like, let's get this going. So we talked about limitations and challenges that come alongside with aging. And Hallie had referenced, she is by herself now, she has family. The rest of you maybe on this side, you want to, but you are giving care to a spouse that has more physical challenges than you. You want to say a little bit more about that?
Sure, my wife had a stroke a couple of years ago, and I'm her caregiver. In fact, she's looking at me streaming right now. Hi, Betty. And so... She's before I got here this morning, I gave her a shower. Well, she's able to stand up in the shower, fortunately. But showering and giving her oatmeal in the mornings, and you know, the normal cleaning up, keeping the kitchen nice and orderly. I've become a very, very, I realize that housewives aren't paid nearly enough. So,
amen.
It's a It's a continual fight and battle. There's my wife is constantly calling me for this and that, and sorry, dear, and she's she always has needs, and I sometimes I feel like Daniel. What did you say, dear? What did you say? But it's a total adjustment. After lived a vigorous life up until a couple of years ago, we did a lot of things and raced around. We're doing practically nothing now. We do get out now and then to lunch, and we do have a wonderful friends network after being 50 some years in this community. So lots of people are our friends, and Hallie especially has been a good friend to Betty, and we get along very, very well. I think our life is quite wonderful.
And I know for Daniel and for Mike, I know you're struggling with some health things that your spouses are helping you. You want to say more about what it means to be dependent on someone, Dr. Mike?
Well, I depend mostly on my wife, Lucy. She helps me every time I cannot hear, I cannot see, I cannot walk very well. So she's always there to help me.
That is why I said togetherness is growing older.
And that's a beautiful gift that you have. And I think we recognize also, like with Hallie, many of us here have spouses or partners or family that is very involved. We also recognize that not everybody has the ideal situation. Some of us have to care for others, and that takes its toll. Some of us don't have anyone to take care of us. And so while we hear your stories, we also recognize that there's a wide variety of things.
I want to say something.
Yes.
Old age is a gracious aid. We are very happy together, 55 years together. And God has blessed us. Our story is a long story. When we came here, I came with 4 kids, 8, 7, 4, and 2. They were small kids. When I came to this country, I didn't have a single penny with me. And God has blessed us all these years. We have 4 kids. They are all graduated from Loma Linda University and La Sierra University. And we are very happy. God has helped us always. So we pray every day that God keep us humble, and we want to be blessing for other people.
Can I jump in right there as we begin to conclude our discussion here? It is very clear when we listen to you that there's sort of a settled confidence with your faith. And we talked about this this last week around the table. How do you want to reflect, each of you, how has your faith changed, if at all, over the years? Maybe we'll start with Bud. I know you have a story that you want to tell about cows.
About cows, yes. I was raised in a very impressionable time of my life on my farm in Lodi. And we had 16 cows. We milked them morning and night. But I told my father I wasn't going to milk them on Saturdays, sundown. Well, I managed to milk some of them in sundown before the sun went down on Friday night. But as the days progressed, I did not milk a cow on Saturday. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was hidebound. I didn't realize, as a stupid young child, I had milked cows from the time I was 14 until I was 20. I had the best forearms in town, I'll tell you. And so the cows went well without a hand touching their udder for 24 hours. I often wondered what my father thought, but he never chastised me. My father had a difficult childhood, but he was very kind and understanding. As I've grown older now, I hated my father until I was 40 years old. But I didn't. He could be very mean, and but I've grown out of that, and I wish he was alive now so I could tell him what a fine man he was.
Mm. Thank you, Bud, for sharing.
Well, as I grow older, I learn a secret of being content in any and every situation. I've learned patience, endurance, and real faith in God, and I trust Him more. Yes, I can say that as I grow older, my faith has been strengthened and became stronger.
Dr. Mike?
As I grow older, my faith is getting better every day. And I cannot say that it is perfect, because it will only be perfect when Jesus comes the second time.
Well, from the time I baptized into Seventh-day Adventist denomination, it's not a one day that you get a solid faith on Jesus. It's a process. Just like aging, faith is a process too. You go through your personal experiences and personal diseases you have, and God takes you out from there. Like last April and March, I almost died in Kaiser. She opens her Bible. By the way, I call her Ellen G. White of Mall family. She opens her Bible. She goes through all the prophecies that God will never let you down. She says, you are going home. She calls all my children, all my grandchildren, because I did not want to be on dialysis. I wanted to die because I had seen enough as a medical person and otherwise. So she said, no, you're going to live. So I was kind of forced into dialysis. Now I'm three times, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I go for dialysis. I don't feel good, but she is the one who is encouraging me every day with worship. She won't let me go out until we have a prayer and a worship at home. So my faith is being strengthened every day as I live and live forward to see my grandchildren growing.
Amen.
Well, we trust in Him. Even from my childhood, whenever we have a problem, we just on our knees, and God has helped us always. So we believe in Him. He has blessed us abundantly. Mm. No complaints. And we are growing together, old. We are 54 years of marriage. And we are happy. Mm. And God has blessed us. And this is my humble request. Please pray for us that we will be faithful to each other and to God, and blessing to others. Thank you very much.
Well, I add amen to everybody, what everyone has said. Not everything has happened among my seven children the way I wished it had. I've learned to accept that they're wonderful people without my, they turned out pretty well in spite of me. I wish I had known the God I know now. I wish I had known that God as I was bringing my kids up. I wish and look back on a lot of things, but there's so much good. And it's nice to be here, and it's nice to share.
Thank you so much for sharing with us today. While they're making their way down, I forgot to ask Lucy about this story. When we, Pastor Chris and I first sat with them, we said, what does it feel like to get old? And Lucy's like, I'm not old. She's like, when we go through TSA security screenings, they always make me take off my shoes. I guess it's what, by age 60 or something like that, you don't need to take your shoes off anymore. And every single time they ask her to take off her shoes because she looks much younger than 60. It is so good. It's so good to have you. There's just something, isn't there, about sitting with our older people that brings a certain kind of satisfaction, a deep goodness inside of us. We're so fortunate to have such remarkable people in our midst. And the wisdom that they shared with us about aging is so important for us to hear. And so as I reflect on what this wonderful group of people shared with us, I cannot help but think about purpose, life's purpose. So often purpose is wrapped up in our job or career or what we do before we retire. And when people retire, the question of purpose opens up in an entirely new way again that's not always easy to deal with. What do I do with my life now? If for 30 or 40 years or so you've poured yourself into a livelihood of some type and you stop doing that, it can be easy to feel unnecessary or unimportant. But this does not need to be the case. Because these people and our older people among us have so much to offer. Yes, the effects of aging are very real. We heard them. Keys in the refrigerator. Discussions left for the next day. They're very real. Yet, what they have to offer is rich and deep and transformational to the rest of us. And we want to affirm that. We want to encourage that. We want to ask for more of that, and we want to make more time to honor that. So, in one's older years, if there's that question about purpose and does my life still matter, how about a word from Scripture today for a few minutes? The story I want to jump into is Genesis chapter 17 through 21. The story of Abraham and Sarah and their call from God. This is Genesis chapter 17. God said to Abram, "As for your wife Sarai, how do you say that in English? Say Sarai in Afrikaans. As for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be much easier. It will be Sarah. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations and kings of people will come from her." Abram fell on his face and laughed. He said to himself, "Can a 100-year-old man become a father or a 99-year-old woman have a child?" Abram is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old, older people. This could be a problem, right, panelists? I can see why Abram fell on his face and laughed. We often forget that Abram laughed as well, not only Sarah. We should not demonize her for her laughing. Abraham laughed also. "Oh my, I'm 100 years old. My wife is 90 years. Even by biblical standards, this is a stretch." And so after this interaction of God with Abram, we find this beautiful story of God visiting these two senior citizens. And we find old-fashioned hospitality. By the way, come next week as the Mallet family share and Pastor Chris about old-fashioned hospitality. So we have the story of hospitality here. Three visitors are coming. The narrator in Scripture cues us in. This is God that is coming. These three visitors are coming. Abraham and Sarah don't know that this is God, but they come. Abraham sees these strangers and says, "Please do not pass us by. Stay. We want to prepare a meal for you. Have water." He asks Sarah to quickly make bread. And he runs, it says, and he goes to get the calf so that they can slaughter it and prepare a meal. And so Abram comes with all of this food, and he brings milk and water and meat and bread. And Abram serves them, and he sits back to watch them eat. This beautiful hospitality that they provide. And then we find the following discussion. They said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And he said, "Right here in the tent." Then one of the men said, "I will definitely return to you about this time next year. Then your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now that our narrator reminds us, Abram and Sarah were both very old. Sarah was no longer menstruating. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, "I'm no longer able to have children, and my husband is old." The Lord said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Me give birth at my age?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? When I return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son." Sarah lied and said, I didn't laugh, because she was frightened. But he said, "No, you laughed." Both Abram and Sarah LOL'd. They laughed out loud. Abram falls on his face and laughs, and Sarah chuckles to herself. They both laugh because they were old. They both laughed because they knew they were old, and both times God assures them that age is not a problem when it comes to God's purposes. See, often we read this passage with judgment, wondering why on earth they didn't go, "Okay, God, all things are possible with you." Scripture is honest. They laughed, maybe because they were nervous, maybe because they thought this was ridiculous. They laughed. We need to see the humor in the story here. And we see that Abram and Sarah are old. They know they're old. That is why they laugh. Because it is impossible in your old age to have children. And so I often wonder, what kind of laugh did they have? Here are a couple of options in a video for you to think about. What kind of laughter did Abram and Sarah have when they LOL'd at God?
Not what?
You're not rolling on the floor laughing. Why would you lie about that?
That's what that means?
I don't know about you, to me it helps to really think about the story in a new way. Like, whether it was the clapper, Abram was like, "Yeah, God." Or the joke repeater, Sarah's like, "We have a son, ha ha." Or the whiplasher, Pastor Bev, they laugh because in their old age, God has a purpose for them. I wonder what Abram and Sarah said to one another after these strangers went on their way. A gloriously impossible promise was reaffirmed to them. A son will be born. But on this occasion, it will not be by the Holy Spirit like Mary. Isaac's birth requires these two senior citizens to act in faith. God says, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" By the way, these are the same words that is used when the angel visits Mary to give her the good news, or the terrifying news, if you're looking from her perspective, that she will birth the Messiah. Is anything too difficult? Can a teenage virgin conceive the Son of God? Yes. Can a 100-year-old man and a 9-year-old woman conceive of a son to fulfill the promise of God? Absolutely, yes. See, the temptation for us is to think that when we are old, we are past our due date, we don't have anything to offer. Everyone else does not need us or want us or don't have the time for us, that our purpose has been served. But that is not what Scripture is saying here at all. In fact, in Scripture, God's purposes depend on older people in quite astonishing ways. Moses was 80 years old when he brought the people out of the land of Egypt. Joshua was 80 years old when he succeeded Moses to become the leader and lead the people in the promised land. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were in advanced years when the angel visited them and said, "You will give birth to the prophet John the Baptist, who will foretell and go ahead of Jesus." Of course, these are examples of older people who are strong and active and do incredible things. But we have heard from our panelists, sometimes life doesn't go that way, and the older we get, the more difficult things become, and it becomes more difficult to do things. Not everybody can give birth to a child at 100 years old. And so this opening up yourself to God's purpose in your older years is not simply about doing. God's purpose for our older years is very much about being. A Sabbath rest, if you like. Think of these biblical characters like Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, "Can an old man be born again?" Nicodemus, with the purpose of simply being in conversation with Jesus. And we have this incredible conversation that ensues because this older man was being in Jesus' presence. In 1 Kings, we see older wise men giving Solomon advice. King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, receiving advice from older people who are being in their sharing of wisdom. And then there's Simeon and Anna in the New Testament, their purpose of simply being present. Anna was at least 84 years old when Jesus was presented to her and Simeon in the temple. And Scripture says that she never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and praying night and day. Her purpose was being in the presence of God. And of course, we have the story of Abram and Sarah. And this is a wildly unique and specific story in how God uses them in their old age. But the principle is one that applies to everyone in their older years in many different ways and circumstances and abilities. And the principle remains the same. God has purpose for us in our older years. I stumbled across this beautiful 3-minute news piece about a basketball team of women who only accept people of 80 years older in their basketball team. Enjoy this wonderful interview.
It's possible that you can still play.
I thought, oh, I'm too old. And then I thought, well, I'll be sorry if I don't go and try out.
The San Diego Senior Women's Basketball Association is for senior women 50 years of age and over.
If you can stand up and move your legs, you're welcome.
People come into the gymnasium with big smiles on their faces.
It's time to go.
Okay, we're warming up for the game that we're going to have so we can beat this young team.
We are the oldest team in the league, yes, definitely.
To be on our team, our splash team, you have to be at least 80 years old. Most of us are 85 and over. Meg and I, we're both 91.
Oh yeah, we play to win, absolutely.
Count us in, splash on three.
One,
two, three, splash!
We play 3-on-3, half court, with 15-minute halves.
Out of the way, Joe!
And a 30-minute game.
That's it, Fran, put it up! Oh!
course, we pay all these younger players, so we don't win very often. Once in a while, we do.
A lot of my childhood friends thought I was crazy at 66 to be playing basketball.
They saw the Splash Pay, and I wanted to play. I wanted to play on that team.
When I told my brothers, they said, they'll put you away.
You could break an arm and break a leg.
I thought, well, I'll be sorry if I don't go and try out.
And I said, I'm going to play anyway.
I've been playing for over 20 years, not as long as some of them.
I've been on the Splash 24 years.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm the only one surviving of my childhood friends. They're all gone, every one of them.
Nobody gets a free shot! Stay right in front of them!
Run those plays. Try and run the stack when you're out there.
I always feed Gracie. It's money in the bank.
I was 78 years old when I got my first basketball shoes, so that was a thrill. Because I never played all my life, never had the chance to play. Growing up, we didn't have sports like the girls do today. We didn't have the opportunity to play. That was before Title IX. I thought, oh, gee, that would be so much fun if I could actually play basketball. As long as I can, I'm going to play.
Out of way, girls, let's go! Anytime our team gets over 20 points, it's very good. We got 40. We got 22. And they got 50.
Friendships. The sisterhood. The family. It's the nicest group of people from all walks of life.
So it's just a pleasure to be with such a nice group of ladies.
I enjoy playing with them so much.
Everybody is one for all and all for one. We have energy and we have energy.
It can be done.
What's so awesome about that is not that it's 85-year-old ladies playing basketball. I mean, that is awesome. But you hear what they said. They love to play, but it's about community and companionship and being together. God has purpose in our older years, not so much to do. Yes, we do. For example, if you look at our community services, one of our beautiful ministries that does so much, I don't know if there are people under the age of 60 that volunteer for community services. There are. But the majority of the group here are people who have and continue to serve in our community service. God has purpose in your older years. There is purpose. And we are sorry for the times where we failed to recognize that or acknowledge that. We're sorry. Today, older people, we want to affirm you and the gift that you bring to our community. We love you and need your confidence in God's goodness and grace. We need that. We really do. You've been around long enough to know of God's faithfulness, as our six panelists have told us. We see this when we jump back into our story of the laughing Abram and Sarah. I love how the author of this portion of scripture wraps up this narrative of this part of the story. This is in chapter 21. After all this promise of a child, the Lord was attentive to Sarah in her old years, just as he had said. And the Lord carried out just what he had promised her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abram when he was old, at the very time that God had told him. Abram named his son, the one Sarah bore him, Isaac. Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Sarah said, God has given me laughter. Everyone who hears about it will laugh with me. Sarah said, who could have told Abram that Sarah would nurse sons? But now I've given birth to a son when he was old. I've often thought of this laughing business as them not following God, but boy, there is delight and joy in their laughter. Everyone who hears Sarah says will laugh with them because of God's goodness in their old age. Not at her, but with her. Everyone will laugh with her. God is the one who brought the laughter, not Sarah or Abram. God brought laughter in their old years. Abram and Sarah are laughing with God. Everyone is laughing with them. And I'm confident that God is laughing with them too. Why all this laughter? Because God honors people in their older years and calls on them to continue consecrating their lives to God's purposes. When we open ourselves to God's purposes, we don't talk about getting older. We talk about growing older. Getting older is resigning to the limitations and challenges of aging and letting those things hold sway. But growing older, not getting older, growing older is continuing and opening to the Spirit's promptings in meaningful living. So as we think about our older folk with us, we all are aging. And purpose in life, may we laugh because of God's goodness. The poet Mary Oliver says this about aging, instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it.